All right, today we're going to continue the series from the book of Philippians, and I've entitled the entire series, Discovering a Joy-Filled Life, because I really believe that walking in joy is a whole lot different than walking in happiness, and we are so often, our happiness is dependent upon what happens to us. When we need to understand what has happened in us through Christ, that gives us the stability. So we're going to piggyback on that topic today. As I showed you, or as I read earlier, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. I want you to see that on the screen. Before we get into Philippians chapter 1, it says, "For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come." Now, to me, this verse, now there's debate about who the Hebrew writer was. Some say it was Paul. I personally don't think it was Paul. I had a pastor one time, he said, "I think it was Barnabas." I don't know. The book of Hebrews is really written to the Jews where, as they were transitioning into from the law system to the grace system. So you see a few things that seem a little controversial in the book of Hebrews, but if you got an area there you're struggling with, email Eddie. He's got it all figured out. So he hit Hebrews 6, right? There's so many things, but now in light of grace he and I have discussed, it really is not a controversy. You got to understand who he was writing to, what the context was. Now I want you to see Philippians 1:27. This is something that's coming. Now I want you to notice the present tense that you see here. Paul said, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven." He didn't say look forward to getting there. My background was all about that other verse in this song that the Statler brothers, we just sang, that this world is not my home. In other words, we just got to struggle through down here and we're eventually going to get there. Just hang on, you know, hang on Jesus' coattail and, you know, we're going to make it. Folks, I'm telling you, I really believe that falls way short. Don't you? Of what God wants in and through us from a day-to-day basis. I love how Paul puts it here. "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven." Now, in other words, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that. "Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news." I've had some to say, "Preacher, yeah, you like to focus on that first part about who we are in Christ, but you see there's a lot of to-dos we're to be doing in the Christian life." Now, I want you to, as George Bush Sr., wasn't he the one that says, "Read my lips"? Listen, I never said there are not commands and principles to follow. The difference is why am I following? Why am I obeying? Let me give you a test, okay? I'm going to show you four questions that I believe if you answer yes to either one of these four questions, then folks, you're walking in law and you're not understanding grace, okay? Now here's your test. Am I obeying to remain right with God? Am I obeying to remain in fellowship with God? We'll be getting into that a little more next week because chapter 2 talks a little bit about it. Am I obeying so I can get closer to God? Folks, this is what I used to live because I thought I had to do these things so I could get something from God. Am I obeying so I can be blessed? As I stated, if you said yes to either one of those, my friends, in my humble but yet correct opinion, you are still walking in the law system. You may have said yes to just that bottom one. Well, there are some do's and God bless you. He sure does. But folks, when you begin to walk and understand that you're blessed already, that you're already righteous, that you're already in fellowship with God, how much closer can you get that when you're, I'll give you an illustration with this little bottle here in just a little bit. How much closer can you get to God than you being in Christ? Amen. You see, now we can walk not understanding that and not benefiting. I can walk thinking I'm out of fellowship with God because I'm over here as a prodigal son and acting crazy and sinning and don't care. Folks, the fellowship with God is tighter than how you feel and your perception of Him. The fellowship, the righteousness, the blessings are all granted through the cross. Now I obey out of that understanding. Do you see what I'm saying? The law system says I do something so I can get something. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. This clearly states that we're not under that old system of the old covenant in the Old Testament days. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Once again, this is in Hebrews. This is transitioning the people. Hebrews 9 tells us that at the death of the cross, the old covenant was done away with. In my opinion, that at the resurrection, in other words, that the new covenant is now in place. And I believe that if you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14, this is another verse, and this kind of gives the new covenant in a summary. Look at the next slide. Christ has redeemed us from the law system and placed us under grace. In Romans 6, 14, you've heard me quote it over and over and over again. We're not under law, we're under grace. I saw a caption on Facebook this week that says if you're preaching law, you're under law. If you're preaching law and grace, you're still under law. And I believe that. We are trying to balance law and grace in the church. We're so afraid of taking the reins off of you crazy Christians and trust you under grace. We think the law has got to keep us in line or we will set you free too much. Just a thought. Okay. Well, what does it mean to walk in light of eternity? What does it mean to live, as Paul said, live as citizens of heaven? Folks, I believe that it's why we're here. I believe that what does it mean to walk in light of eternity? What does it mean to understand the finished work of the cross? We're talking about an infinite God of love and grace and mercy. And we think we're going to figure this out in a few Sundays or in a series. Folks, I believe that's why the purpose of the church is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an ongoing process, don't you think? We know we're slowly learning what it means to be under grace, and that's what I want us to keep doing. Now, back to Philippians. I want you to see that first part of that verse again. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news. Well, how do we walk in a manner that's worthy of the good news? I believe you got to back up two verses and understand what Paul said first in Philippians 1:25. He said, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive. His purpose for living is coming up here. I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. As you heard me state a couple of weeks ago, how do we walk worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ? I believe you got to keep growing. You got to keep focusing on Jesus Christ. I believe we've got to keep the horse before the cart, if you will. We want to say, well, I'm going to set out that I'm going to live worthy of the good news this week. I encourage you, go ahead and try it this week. Let me know how it works out. You think you can walk worthy of Jesus Christ? An infinite God? Go ahead, do your best. I'm telling you folks, don't try to do that, you can't do it. But you have a power that lives within you, and His name is the Holy Spirit. And He wants to live His life through you. How do you do that? You focus, keep focusing on Jesus, and I believe the Holy Spirit comes in. Understanding you can't live it, quit trying to live what you were never meant to live. But as you grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works through you to live out verse 27. Now, I want us to see the whole verse. This is a long verse, and that we could preach a whole message right here. But above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together. Notice the unity that's here. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. There's a lot of benefits here of having an eternal mindset, of walking in light is that you're a citizen of Jesus Christ in heaven. It says first of all, you'll be living in a manner worthy of the good news. Now notice the middle part of the verse. He says, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose. That's standing together for the faith, which is the good news. That's unity. Don't you think? I heard of a church split one time. This church split off from one church and then they named their new church Unity. Folks, I believe there probably have been some godly church splits that they needed to get away probably. In light of what I know now, I didn't split a church, but I left one understanding that I was struggling seeing it moving along in this grace message. And so I think sometimes you do have to start afresh and anew, don't you? Diversity in the church at Philippi that Paul was writing back to, I want you to think back with me. In Acts chapter 16, we talked about the Philippian jailer. But if you go a little bit deeper, you'll find out that there were different ones that started that church that Paul worked with to start the church. There was Lydia, who was a business person. There was a slave girl, and there was a jailer. All different walks of life. And the unity of the love of Jesus Christ came together. And folks, that's a picture of what we ought to be today. It's not just for who's like us. I heard somebody say one time, if everybody's like you, it'd be a dull and boring place. You know, there's some people, that creative crowd, I know some of y'all out here, y'all can drive this preacher crazy sometime. But it takes y'all to keep the life of the party, don't it? We think that everybody's got to be like us. No, God created us with different personalities, with different skin colors, with different gifts and different backgrounds. Some are on the upper part of the economic scale, some are in the middle, and some are on the poor side. Folks, it doesn't matter. The foundation of us all is what Jesus Christ has done. For God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm telling you, the more I understand the grace of God and who I am, I'm in Him not because of anything I've done, but all of what He's done. Folks, it helps me kind of pull back that judgmentalism a little bit, don't you? It's pull that out. Not that I ain't got that down pat yet, but folks, I'm telling you, it's really helped, okay? Not only was there unity, I want you to notice verse 28. He said, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even as by God Himself. Folks, a life apart from walking in the love of God is destruction. They're going downhill. And He's saying, don't be intimidated by your enemies. Don't be intimidated by people. Folks, can I remind you, have I said this before? Paul was writing this from prison. And he talk about enemies, and here he's telling us how to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of that. Let your light so shine before them anyway. And you say, preacher, that's easy said than done. Hey, I understand. I understand. I've had a few enemies in my past. But I'm telling you, it's not us that's doing it. When we realize it's not Carlton Rivers that's going to have the love of Christ before them, that's what God wants. Paul was writing to a people, and he was loving on people. He even said in the first part of Philippians that we read a few weeks ago, he said, the guards are watching. The ones that beat him are watching him. The ones that's persecuting you are watching you. You see, God wants to work His love and grace to them in spite of you. There's such a deeper plan going on than your retribution or your getting back at them, isn't there? Paul's in prison, so if you and I don't understand that we don't walk every day by the happy or sad mentality. Now, I'm going to show you some graphs and different things. I said before, and I've mentioned it almost in every sermon, we have a tendency to walk on the surface. If things are going well in my life, I'm happy. If they're not going well in my life, I'm sad. And we're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down. Folks, in my opinion, that is walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Now, it also means that you're walking according to what happens to you instead of walking according to what has happened in you. There's a huge difference. I really believe this is what God's trying to get us to understand in this series in the whole book of Philippians. We said, remember that rejoice is a choice. When the bottom drops out, something happens negative, we've got a choice. Can we get all freaked out and up and down and, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Or can we stop and say, wow, that's not good, but my God is even better. He's the stability. I'm going to be established in grace. And I'm telling you, to be established in grace, you got to be hearing it, don't you? Amen. I'm telling you, the world will suck it out from you. Some Christians will do that. Some family members will do that. You've got to have a stability that cannot be robbed by anybody or by anything that happens to you. And I'm telling you, Paul had a handle on this. I want to repeat this again. Let's look at this. An earthly mindset reacts based on the physical act that happened to us. Think about it. How much of our life is up there in that first sentence? I believe here's where God's moving us to. An eternal mindset responds based on what has happened in us. What does that mean? That's why we're here. Look at verse 29. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. Suffering circumstance. Y'all remember the, was that Sylvester the King? My brother's back there going, and my daughter's climbing under the table. They'll say, Daddy, don't do that, please. Hey, he could have just as easily left this out, right? That last part. It's a privilege. What did it say? To be trusting in Christ. Let's just white out the rest of that verse. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ. Oh my goodness. Now preacher, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't either. Christ didn't either. But yet you see, God is bigger than your suffering. That's when you begin to understand this. I'm telling you, you will walk through suffering and difficulties in a whole new light, in a whole new peace that passes understanding that my brother Keith's going to share about here in a couple of weeks from now, the first Sunday in April. He will be sharing how Philippians 4:7, is that right? 4:7, their daughter, some of you weren't here, but their daughter Amy, my niece, was killed in a car wreck. Age 16, is that right? And I tell you, I saw a peace that passed understanding. And he's going to share. So what is your difficulty? What is it you're going through? You see, the earthly mindset is living in the flesh. In other words, we're up and we're down. And we're all over the place. Eternal mindset is walking in the Spirit, as I've said. So struggling is a part of life. Difficulties are certain. Adversities are sure. Can I hear amen? God never said. Now there's some prosperity preachers that I'm struggling with a little bit that even are on the grace side that are saying, well, you just got to claim that nothing bad's going to come to you and nothing bad's going to come to you. Hey, I'm telling you, the Bible says suffering is a part of life and it's going to come. What I do believe, though, is that that peace that undergirds, that underlies what happens to us, you see, the prosperity coming to us or the adversities that are coming or not coming is what's happening to us. God sometimes will allow some of that stuff to slip through because He wants us to get down here on this steady line of understanding the joy of the Lord apart from what happens to us. And I had to go through a lot of that myself as a Christian. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are going through difficulties that are really understanding the grace message. But I'm telling you, as I've shared, you know, my finances were, it was rough. It was rough. I almost lost my house. But I kept understanding and preaching. I tried the name it and the claim it in the midst of all that. And it didn't happen right then. And God finally came to the place where He said, I don't know who this is for. This is just given me right now. I had to come to the place where I had to trust God's love for me more than His blessings to me. Now this is huge. This is big. I was so focused on claiming the prosperity and claiming to get out of debt and claiming this and that and the other that I believe God was saying, you're missing the point. I know I've said this before, but I really feel impressed to say it again. I was sitting in my study at the lake house that we were trying to sell to get out of debt, living high on the hog, as the old saying goes in the South. Beautiful lake view sitting there. I thought, now this is just like God to give me a view like this to work on sermons and seeing the lake and that kind of thing. But then the bottom dropped out. He led me to leave the church. I was making a full-time salary. And here I am struggling. I said, now Lord, I believe you want us to prosper. I believe I'm preaching that down at the church. What are people going to think if I lose my house? What are people going to think if I've got this or this going on? And here I've been claiming and believing. And I tell you, God had to weed through all that to get down to Romans 8. He said, read Romans 8. I said, yes, sir. It wasn't audible. It was just in my spirit. I was studying Romans 8 already. He said, read that again. And read that again. I said, okay. Got over there toward the end. It says, what if famine comes? What if persecution comes? What if, what if, what if? He said, has anything changed? What if they talk about you down at the church and then the people that already think you crazy anyway for going this grace track, them former people that you used to hang around with are talking about you now. Boy, they really going to have something to say now. So see there? That's what happens when you go that route. He said, what if they say all that? Has anything changed from my love from me to you? That's what God was telling me. What can separate me from the love of God? Romans 8. What's that? Do y'all remember that verse in particular? Whatever it is, it's in there toward the end. What can separate me from the love of God? What can separate? I thought that was about eternal security, and it is. But it goes way deeper. Folks, I had a peace sweep over my heart that passed the understanding that Keith's going to be talking about in a couple of weeks. I said, I can't explain it. I knew the payment was coming out of my bank account that Thursday that wasn't there. And he said, are you going to worry, focus on that, or are you going to focus on me right now? What you going to say to that? See, I had a choice to rejoice, or I had a choice to keep worrying. And something happened that week, wasn't big, sold something I was trying to sell, paid the payment. Something happened the next week, and it took a few months to get it. Finally get on through this, the house finally sold. It was just a daily trust. Right now, some of you are going through difficult times. It's a daily trust. It's a minute-by-minute trust, isn't it? Lord, I don't get this. I know my healing was yours, was given at the cross. I know my finances. I'm rich in Christ. I know all that. But boils down to, I'm trusting you, and your love and your grace is sufficient right now. It's going to be sufficient tomorrow. It's going to be sufficient tomorrow. And folks, the breakthrough is coming. You keep believing God for it. But don't focus so much on the breakthrough as you focus on the person that's giving you the breakthrough. Amen. That's the whole thing right there. Now we can sing Just As I Am. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness. I had Deanna. She is such a blessing. Y'all, I throw stuff at her at the last minute. I asked the Holy Spirit for an illustration to show you, and I had a chart on my mind, and I found a chart that shows something I want you to see now, how that we have a tendency to walk according to something like this chart, if you can get it to play. Not that one. Not that one. Hold on to that one. Yeah, not that one. That's where we're wanting to go. Remember the one that you said that with the up and down? I want you to look at this. Notice the frown on the upside down on the bottom. Isn't that about us? That we're up and we're down. And we're up and we're down. And we're happy and we're sad. And it's no wonder we're miserable. And we think we're presenting our lives as worthy as presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you are down in the low right now. You've got a great opportunity that you're going to see that God's Spirit, I believe, is resting on you even more in the midst of those times. You see what you think in just a second as we read Peter. This is what Christ died to give us, is a stability that we're not controlled by what's happening to us. We're controlled by what's happened in us. That's why I want to continue to pour my life into you as God pours it into me, as the Holy Spirit pours it into you of who you are in Christ, and it gives you that even stability as you walk through life because you're not walking as dependent upon what has happened to you. Did I tell y'all that Paul was in prison when he wrote this? I just couldn't remember if I did or not. Did you know that Peter understood walking in light of eternity? I want to see a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, "Dear friends, don't worry, you'll never walk through any troubles or difficulties in life." Oh, wait a minute. I'm bad about this. You see, that's what we want it to say. "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad." Good gracious, he and Paul are on the same boat. Paul's saying rejoice when difficulties come, and Peter's saying be very glad. What's wrong with these people? "Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have a wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." Next slide. "So be happy when you're insulted." Doggone it. Doggone it. "So be happy when you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." Look at that. Do you think that might just mean that that power is stepped up just a little bit more? We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I believe He's saying, don't worry. Some of you are going through difficult times right now. Hey, say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, thank You that You're right here. You're going to do something powerful in the midst of this, even though it is some of the mess that's coming up here." Look at what He said. He said, "However, don't be a knucklehead." Oh, that ain't in there either. I'm giving you the CRV version, Carlton Rivers version. "However, it must not be," in other words, he's saying, "don't suffer for being a murderer, for stealing and making trouble and prying into other people's affairs." You know, a lot of our suffering is brought on to self, right? Because of some things we do. But folks, hey, listen. You've all got them. You've all done them. God is still taking that same mistakes that you've made. That's part of Romans 8:28. "For all things work together, even the old mess ups," right? "But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name." One of the discussion questions is suffering a part of being a Christian? I hope if you're still doubting that, you understand. It's coming whether you think it's a part of being a Christian or not. It's there, okay? But isn't this what we want? Isn't what we want the stability of understanding that this difficulty, what has happened to me right now, does not change who I am as a person? It doesn't change how God feels about you, even if you brought it on yourself. It doesn't change a thing. And I'm telling you, there's so much power in this. Look at this next statement. "Growing in God's understanding of His love for you will empower your love for God and even for your enemies." You need to let that soak in a second. Growing in God's understanding of His love for you. Folks, religion says, I've got to work and grow in what I'm doing for everybody else. I've got to work harder. I've got to strive more to be a better Christian. I'm telling you, I'm through with that. Anybody else with me? I'm going to keep growing in God's understanding and His love for me. And what does that mean? Because it's infinite. You think you've got it down that God loves you? You ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue. Well, this sure is fun figuring it out, isn't it? It's an awesome journey. See, the law teaching promotes what you do for God. Grace is all about what God has done for you. Now I do for God and others because of what He's done for me. Big difference. Now, notice this cool graph. I jotted this down on a piece of paper, took a picture of it with my smartphone. This preacher is techie, I'm telling you. And I shot it to Deanna, And I said, can you make something like this that they can read? And here's what she sent back. I didn't even see the little guy walking. See, when we're walking in light of eternity, we've got to understand we've been raised with Christ. Our old self was crucified with Christ. You say, preacher, well, why does this new self still make mistakes? Why does this new self still mess up? Because you're still walking, you see, in an old body. This is not who you really are. But when you walk in light of eternity, you see, what happens to us causes us emotions and we're all over the place, right? Sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're down. And that's typically when we're walking in the flesh, that we're walking, not walking in the spirit, that's what we're going to do. I want to get to where it doesn't matter what I'm hit with, that I still have an understanding of who I am in Jesus Christ. That I'm raised with Him, that I'm going to keep growing and focus on what has happened. Notice past tense. I'm not walking in what's happening to me in the present tense or what I'm worried about is going to happen to me in the future tense. I'm walking in what has happened in the past tense. Amen. You see, that's what understanding and studying the finished work of the cross is all about. What else has God done for me at the cross that I don't know about? I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show me that. I ask Him to give me this graft. And I hope it's a visual. I'm a very visual person. And so I hope that we can learn. I have learned. Paul said it's a process. I have learned to be content no matter what state I am in. I might have had the bottom dropped out and I'm at the bottom of that graft. And I was just a few years ago. Now God's blessing our business. We can't hardly keep up. Give Him praise because He's worthy. It's all about Him. His favor is all over us. As I was writing the kids' lesson, I kind of made, I think Adam is teaching it in place of Jessica. And I come to this place where I was saying, you know, we're living in light of eternity. We're to walk as citizens of heaven. I said, now we need to explain that, Adam. Good luck. I put a little smiley face. And I had something that hit me. And I said, what does it mean to be that we're seated in heaven already, but yet we're here now? What does that mean? How can we be at two places at once? Well, I believe in the spirit man, as Brother Larry talks a lot about. I believe that our spirit is already with Him. The spirit is that underlying stability. But we're still in this old body. Things happen to us. Our emotions, I don't care how hard you try to keep that steady, even line, we're going to be up and we're going to be down. But ultimately, where are we going to settle out? You know, it's one thing to be hit with something unexpected and we get flipped out of shape about it. It's another to say, what are you doing? Have a good self-talk. Have a good self-talk. Say, what are you doing? Why are you thinking like this? You know God's got this. You know that you're already seated in heaven. Why are you getting freaked out? Don't you think that's good? But when you turn around, though, you have a self-talk and you turn around and answer yourself. Now they say you got a problem there. I don't know. But anyway, I said, how can we explain to a child that you're in Jesus? What does that mean? We're already seated up there with Him. What does that mean? And the Lord gave me this illustration of a bottle of water. And you know what's going to happen when I put this food coloring in? It's going to turn a beautiful color. And you just mix it a little bit. Now I want you to try to separate that. Steve McVeigh uses sweet tea since he's from the South. You know how when you boil sweet tea and you put sugar in it and you get it hot, it becomes one with the water or the tea? Folks, we are in Jesus Christ. Already. He's already seen the past, the present, and the future. He's already died at the cross. We're buried with Him already. Our old self has passed away. Behold, we've already become a new person. It doesn't happen necessarily at the moment that we believe it. I believe it's activated at that time. But folks, that doesn't change. My believing something doesn't make it happen and true. It's happened before I believed it. That's the good news that we're to tell people and tell ourselves. Because I tell you, when we blow it and we sin and we mess up and we can't get it right, that's the time you need to be telling yourself the truth. And understand, I'm one with Jesus Christ. Nothing that I've done that I'm with Him. I'm already seated up there with Him right now. And I'm down here worried about what somebody said about me. I'm down here worried about I'm going to lose my house. I'm down here worried about what are they going to say. I'm telling you, God will purge you of what others think of you. I got the t-shirt. He will purge you of that. He wants you to quit worrying about that. We're more worried about that than we are necessarily about the act itself. That is, it's not going to happen to us. Hey, I'm just sharing my heart with you guys. God will purge you of that. Focus on His righteousness in you. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 14 says, "In righteousness you shall be established." 1 Corinthians, righteousness means a right standing with God. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness." Whose righteousness? Not yours. His that He's given you. It's yours because of Jesus Christ. Wow. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would continue to grow us in this understanding. That You would help us to understand that we are not to walk daily by what happens to us or what doesn't happen to us. We're not to walk by our bank account. We're not to walk by how healthy we are. We are to walk through the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit, because Christ, you see, can be now in us through the Holy Spirit that's here with us daily. Father, help us to understand what that means. Lord, I've only scratched the surface today. And some are struggling, I know, in our church. They're struggling because they don't know which way to turn. Maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's a health issue. It's financial. Maybe it's relational. The Holy Spirit, just give us a calmness and a peace as You remind us how much God thinks of us right now. I'm doing less for God as far as what the church says than I've ever done before. And I've never sensed a closeness. What is that saying? That's saying that our doing for God has nothing to do with our fellowship. It has nothing to do with how right we are. It has nothing to do with us being closer to You. Father, it simply tells me that our focus is not to be on our doing, but on what Jesus has already done. And God, may You show me how to lead these people to this understanding on an ongoing basis. And Father, just continue to give us the peace that passes understanding. Even tomorrow when the bank account hadn't changed, even tomorrow when the situation hadn't changed, may we pull out our Bible, may we pull out something that reminds us of who we are in You. What has happened in us, not what's happening to us. And Father, I know that peace that passes understanding will engulf those things that are happening to us, that we'll have a peace that passes understanding. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, for Yourself. Thank You for the shack. For those that hadn't seen it, may they get out there and see it. And I pray that You can continue to use that movie to show how much You really love us, Lord, because I believe that's what You're up to. In Jesus' name, amen.